CliffCentral.com.
Okay, let's say anything. let's get Cindy in here. Are we wasting time when this great woman is sitting here and she's ready to talk to us again? I don't know what kind of crazy she is to come and talk to us. I mean, it's just madness. Hey, waste your Friday morning talking to us. She's got a new song. Let me play you a little bit of that so you can get an idea of what she's up to at the moment. And then we'll talk to Cindy Alter here. The song's called Hole in a Ring. Listen to this. This is called Hole in a Ring. It's nothing sexual, is it? No, it's not.
No.
No. All right. Pop on those headphones. How are you, Cindy Alter?
I'm so good today.
Nice to see you.
I've been up since 5 a.m. How are you good?
You like waking up at 5 a.m. to come and see schlubs like me?
You know what? There's certain times that I don't mind waking up at 5 a.m.
Okay.
Today, and the prospect of Krispy Kreme donuts.
Oh, you
donuts.
Bought donuts for us. Look at you. You see, you know how to bribe the right people.
That's it.
Well, yeah. It wasn't a bribe. I would have brought money if there was a bribe.
Yeah, this is South Africa, actually. We should be very...
Thank you. Bribes Nobody are... gets bribed by donuts nowadays.
No, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fantastic. I was just thinking and reminiscing this morning about the first time we had you in here.
Yes.
And what a great conversation we had and how you're one of my favorite guests.
Wow.
You are.
I didn't know that.
Well, you remember you came in and we just heard your stories of all the crazy shit you got up to in the 80s. And you know?
What a life.
Well, what a life.
I am such... I know it sounds so freaking trite, but... I'm a lucky person. Mm. Not lucky because you have to create your own luck. I don't believe that you get luck. Mm-hmm. You know, oh yeah, you're lucky. You make your luck and you make your life and you have to keep creating it. And I was just talking earlier to Sia that you've got to stay relevant and you've got to stay on top of it and all that. But for me, it's not about the publicity side of it. For me, it's about me.
Yeah.
It's my life, and I want to steer this train, you know?
Well, you say that you're staying relevant and all that stuff.
Yes.
But you don't seem to be one of those people who's under pressure to do that. We were just talking about how, you know, Michael Bloomberg wants to spend more money to stay relevant. And even though he's made all this fortune and he's been a tremendous success in his life, he wants more. Donald Trump wants more.
It's the more. That's the word.
Michael Jackson wanted more. And I was thinking about like the 80s because I went to this concert last Saturday with A-ha, right?
Lovely.
Now, you remember them?
Of course.
What huge stars they were in the 1980s?
Yeah.
And they were a cool kind of famous right now because I watched these guys and you might get recognized here or there, but you're not famous. You're not like movie star famous.
But I like that.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's what I was getting to with
that.
You.
Yes, so that's where I'm at.
There'll be people.
I want to think of myself.
Yeah, of course you are.
I like being that.
There will be people who, when you go to the shops, will go, "Oh my God, that's Cindy Alter. Do you remember Substitute?"
The worst ones are. I'm usually always in like my gym clothes or yoga clothes.
Oh,
that's how I walk
minding
around.
Minding your own business.
You know, I do mind my own business, and people will go, "Hi, are you that singer?" And I'm like. I'm that singer, yeah.
Does
but
it irritate
sweet.
You a little bit?
No.
Promise me, because
I promise you, it doesn't irritate me.
I get annoyed when people say, "You're that guy from Idols." Say hello to Randall for me. Like, I get a little annoyed because I'm like, surely you could think of something else to say.
Yeah, but we have to remember who they are. They are the people watching.
Yeah.
They're the people sitting in the seats, bums in seats,
right?
Fans, etc., etc. They buy it.
Yes.
Whatever it may be.
Right.
And I don't kneel at the feet of gratitude, you know, like, oh, please be grateful all the time. Yeah. But I am grateful for that.
Right.
That, yay, somebody did remember who I was.
Yeah.
But when I'm in my pajamas, no.
It's not the best. Yeah, it's such an interesting thing.
Yeah, like, the fame one is a very interesting one. I'd like to ask you, do you think, because I've heard, I remember reading something Jack Nicklaus talking about is once you sign over, once you choose this life, you belong to them now, which I thought was quite haunting. And for someone like you, I'd love to know what you think of that.
It's the absolute truth. That is why the industry, music industry, movie industry, this kind of thing has so many tragedies and so many victims, because you have to keep this together, your head.
Well, look at Brenda Fassie.
You've got to keep it, everything. I mean, like,
these are people you used to hang, in my mind.
I used to hang out with Brenda.
Yeah, you used to hang out with Brenda.
And I watched the decline, and I'm like, Brenda, hold it together. Stay strong. Hold it together.
She bought into
the fame, the thing.
Jesus.
You know, and I'm not judging her.
What a talented girl.
And what a talented girl. And from when she started that cute little thing to what she ended up. Listen, I could have been one of those tragedies too, you know. Mm. I had enough downers.
Did you ever get a bit self-destructive?
I was at times. I wrote in my book, there were times that I was self-destructive. It's a lonely life, baby. Mm. You know, she lives a lonely life.
Yeah, where's that from?
Song from...
All that she wants.
It's a little baby. Ace of Base, exactly. And many people have written about it over the years. As songwriters write about their inner feelings, and they live, I live my therapy in public.
Yeah,
you know, I just write about it and stuff. But we are the voices of the nations. You know, when you think of Dylan and stuff, he was writing about Vietnam.
Yeah.
You know, Jackson Brown writing about.
You were writing about prostitutes.
Yes, exactly.
I'll be a prostitute.
Oh,
well, I had to write about something.
Damn.
No, but
what's interesting to me, too? I mean, last year we lost Johnny Clegg, right? Yes. Again, these are people who you would perform with. Sometimes you'd be at the same concert with these
and
guys
and
girls.
Kind
of, you knew them.
Know, buddies,
and, and it was a small community of artists in the 80s, and it was a very mixed up community because the artists were, they didn't give a shit for the rules. And they could almost get away with some of the rules being broken where ordinary people couldn't.
Yes, as we did. And we were pushing
the
envelope.
So you knew the girls from Joy, you knew Brenda, you knew, you know.
We worked on the same stages.
Yvonne Chaka Chaka.
Yvonne and I go back a way back.
Mm.
You know, I sang on all her first songs.
Really?
Yeah.
You do BVs.
Yeah.
Look at you. Secret weapon in some of Yvonne's tracks.
And yeah, definitely.
Which one? Like, I'm burning up.
No, not that I'm one. I said I'm in love with a DJ.
Yes. Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm. I'm in love.
And there was a song they were starting, Yvonne was starting out, and there was a band called, it was a made up band called Freeway. It was Cindy Alter really singing all the songs. And there was a, every day, every night, every day. And every night, and I had the accent and everything. I was there, little Imlongo there.
Wow,
he was singing with all the black artists.
You were lying to the blacks.
Not meaning to. The producers did it all.
No, sure. But there were some powerful producers in South Africa then, because the music industry was so small. And it was small in South Africa. There was a lot of money to be made. There were some very powerful people. They controlled all the songs. Yeah, sure, but there was massive creativity.
And the musicians were as one in those days. The musicians, we all met at all the shows. We were all cool with each other. Now everybody's like, you know, I don't feel a solidarity with musicians now. But then again, there aren't those clubs anymore. Because before there were the clubs and the circuit, and you'd always bump into people on the circuit and
you
the clubs.
You must have had some parties too.
Yeah.
Jesus. I'd love to go back and like see you partying with Brenda and PJ Powers.
Yeah,
and,
those were the, we have. Mm-hmm.
Damn.
There's some stories
also,
there.
I mean, like it was quite innocent compared to what people
but
get up to now,
thing.
Right?
I mean, swear to you, it was so low key.
Yeah, it wasn't like it was in America, for example, where there was
no
just
way.
Drugs, sex, and rock and roll.
No. There was sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Oh, it was just different order, but the same thing.
But in such a small way, I mean, when I think of Clout Girls leaving this country in 1978 to go overseas. Mm-hmm. I mean, firstly, let's talk politics for a second, that everybody was banned.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to come here and you're not allowed to go anywhere.
Right.
So apartheid was like, nobody from South Africa is allowed to leave the shores and come and play anywhere.
And when
so,
you did go overseas, some people would treat you as persona non grata.
Would,
you know, you were nothing.
Definitely. We were persona non grata. And they eventually found a way to sort of calm the masses and say, look, they're a Dutch band. You know, so I suppose we would
lie. You'd lie
way
to people
back.
There.
We didn't say it, but the press
promoters.
Said it. And they said, you know, they're a Dutch band, and that's why they can come out and be here. But we were number one everywhere, so they had to have us there. It was like, we've got to get this band here. You're number one on all the charts around Europe and New Zealand and blah, blah, blah.
It's so interesting you bring that up, because I was thinking, looking at Morten Harkett and Aha the other day, and imagining how they feel about Take On Me, which is probably their biggest song, right?
It was like a pop thingy thing.
But he's a very serious musician.
I know.
Too serious. Takes himself very seriously. But I thought, what do they feel when they have to do this bloody song again? How do you feel about Substitute when you hear it now? Are you a little bit annoyed by it? Does it get in your way? Or are you still, I'm happy. If people remember that about me, that's good enough for me.
I had to come to terms with a lot of things about that. Okay. Firstly, I was always pigeonholed from the beginning. Oh, Cindy from Clout.
Yeah.
Then I was Cindy from Zia.
Yes.
And when I went to America, I was just Cindy Alter. And that for me was very empowering to find myself as an artist, as a singer-songwriter. It was a totally different ballgame. I never sang Substitute. After Clout, I never sang Substitute for 20-something years.
You had a time where you actually didn't like the song. You had no relationship with it.
It wasn't that was exactly it, Gareth, that I didn't have a relationship with it anymore.
Mm.
And in America, it wasn't relevant. It was like Cindy Alter, the songwriter. Cindy Alter working in Nashville. Cindy Alter doing different things. So when I came back to South Africa and it was after the cancer that I wanted to come back and just go pressure off. Because in America, you're moving, shaking, you're pushing. If you're not pushing and moving and shaking, you're like zero. So you have to work hard.
By the way,
cancer
hasn't come back, has it?
No.
Okay, good.
17 years.
God damn it. Well done. That is
thank
magic.
Thank you.
That is magic.
That is magic. And that is something
okay, now I'm going to traumatize you and bring back the cancer. Listen to this.
Oh, no.
Takes a bit more than that to traumatize me, darling.
I just want everybody to have a little trip down memory lane. Right? Sam, listen to you.
You've been waiting much too long now. It looks like she's not coming home. Sam, you've been loyal, true and faithful all this time with being alone. If I could get that same dedication, I'd give you everything in creation. If she doesn't come back, I'll be your substitute whenever you want me.
I love it. All right, so two things. First of all, was there a Sam or is it made up?
It was a made up.
Okay.
Because the original song was written by a guy called Willie Wilson for the Righteous Brothers.
Wow.
And it was, if you had to hear, it was an album track of theirs. It wasn't a hit of theirs. And it was Righteous Brothers.
Girl, it's a ballad.
You've been waiting much too long now. It was totally, if you hear it.
By the way, don't you feel sorry for the other Righteous Brother? I mean, there were two of them, right?
Yeah,
and the one guy, he hardly
Bill
had any.
Bill Medley was like the dude, you know.
Bill was the main singer. But
and
then
the other one sang Unchained Melody, you know, so.
But he hardly had anything else to do. He was, most of the time, if they ever did concerts, he would just sit there on a bar stool. Was sad. So,
but he still made the money, so it's okay.
Yeah, sure.
He made half
of course.
Everything.
And maybe that's also the right level of famous, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe you just want to be the
The dude in the background.
Yeah, like sometimes that's the guitarist, sometimes is the guy who has the best life, maybe the drummer, maybe the bass player. Lead singer sometimes has a horrible time dealing with all that attention and then not dealing with it and then being alone and then having drugs and you know how it goes. Anyway, the other thing about clout, the O in clout was almost like panties on a girl, right?
It was a bikini.
Yes. If you look up the logo, it's a very sexy little logo.
It's very cute, yeah. Ah. Listen, I can't fault our producer, even though he stole all our money. We cannot fault him.
Who's this man?
His name is Graham Beggs. Everybody knows him. Still alive? In the industry. He is alive. He lives
Son of a bitch. Where
in
is he?
Seychelles with the yacht that we bought him.
No.
Has he ever invited you on the yacht?
No, darling. If I was invited, I've got two beautiful limpet mines.
Yeah, you put them under the yacht.
There we go.
Jesus.
No, you know what?
And so he's having a great time.
I laugh about it now because I'm like, oh, you're whatever. A big that guy did not stop me. He could not stop me.
What a story, though.
Yeah,
you can
huge
sit there.
Story.
Other people go, oh, you know, my employer didn't give me my UIF for the month of May.
I lost millions.
Millions.
I mean, we, in 1981, it was stated in a court case, because he was being sued by another band. It was in a court case, he'd been audited, and Clout, at that point, had sold 10 million albums. Jesus. In 1981. Up to now,
he
it's
pocketed
about 14-
the money.
It was, oh, you know, we're on tour and we have to pay for this and we have to do that and And we were like with big record companies overseas, you know, like Polygram. And
yeah, those were those were the days.
Capital.
Those guys had so much money.
Yeah. That's so, and the saddest part for me, listen, I had to get over that quick.
It's hard to get over a couple of million rand.
That, not just that, just being thrown to the wolves.
For one, you wouldn't be sitting here with me if you'd had those millions. You could be you'd be lounging on a yacht.
Well,
you wouldn't be talking to me.
I think I'd still be living in LA.
Did you like LA?
I loved LA.
Why?
I liked it because, as I said earlier, I found Cindy there.
Mm.
I found Cindy Alter, and the people who I made friends with didn't know who the hell I was, so they made friends with Cindy.
Yeah, there's no fake nonsense.
Okay, so there was none of that fake nonsense. People say, oh, LA's so fake. You can bypass all of that. It depends what you're looking for. I wasn't looking for that. I was looking for soulful, deep, spiritual connection.
Yeah, but the problem with LA is everyone else is looking for that.
Well,
most of them.
And that,
you meet anyone in LA, they're all on their way to stardom. They
LA
think.
Is a cesspool of broken dreams.
Sure.
That's what it is.
Yeah, that's what it is. So
and you either become a victim of that, you know, one of the casualties of the war, or you don't.
You crawl out of the swamp.
You crawl out the swamp, or you just keep crawling as fast as you can so that the hands of the swamp don't come and get you.
Sure.
But you're speaking to a great point there. I wanted to ask you, you know, something, especially as South Africans, we don't really have greatness around us all the time. You were like the definition of great. Number one, not in South Africa, Africa, the world. You know, like you said, greatness is a lonely place.
It is.
And what was it like when you were there? Like, did you start to descend and start to believe? And did you ever feel yourself becoming that?
No. Listen, there were times.
And sorry, most of us will never know greatness
no,
either.
No, sure. Look, there are times that I used it to my advantage. Sure. But it was just in naughty little things like see a guy I like and go, come here, I want that. Or should I have that one? Or should I, you know, I was just, but, and I was young and I was hot and whatever. I'm not anymore. I'm who I am. But point being, yes, there's that kind of delicious kind of little bit of power. But it was never, for me personally, I know other people can get caught up in it. That was never the point of the whole thing. For me, I was chosen to be a musician from when I was a born person, from very young. Music chose me. And always it was about the music for me. I want to be on stage and I want to sing and play music because that's who I am. Mm. What comes of it is a byproduct of all of it. And it's truly not really mine. It doesn't belong to me. It was given to me. So I just borrow it in a way. How I choose to use it or abuse it is... you know.
What's why are you still writing music? Because you love it?
I love it.
You're not doing it to prove a point to anyone.
I have no point to prove.
And there's no money in writing songs anymore. No.
Listen,
there's money in performing. People must offer you gigs all the time.
Yes, thank goodness. I'm still working a lot. I'm traveling a lot. I got hooked up in Germany again. I went there last year. It was very strange. I thought there was just going to be a whole bunch of old Clout fans there.
Yes.
And it was just a whole bunch of different people.
But the Germans really
they
do
love
like.
They love music.
Yes. And they like nostalgia.
Yes.
And
they
do love
interested.
The 80s.
Yeah. They were interested. And I had all these little, well, I only did four shows because we were testing the waters.
Yeah.
But they were all very well sold out shows. I sold like 60 albums.
Jeez, well
now,
done.
Now, you think every in this day and age, download, streaming, all that stuff. Let me tell you, there are still people buying product.
Yeah, they like that. They like that. They, like they want to have something product. In their hands. Tell me quickly, when you do these gigs, you perform a set, do you have to do a lot of the old stuff because otherwise people won't come? And if you do some of the new stuff, do they like that after the show because it might be the first time they hear it?
I do two different things. So I'll do my original shows where I'm only doing my music, couple of choice covers that I really like, and obviously Substitute and Save Me.
Yeah, they have to have it.
But I have to. And I had to just come to terms with it. And so I don't vomit anymore. But we call
Give
it that
Give the people
song.
What they want.
Yes, thank you.
Oh.
You've got it. So if you want to always swim against the current, good luck to you. You know, I don't fall in, but I carve my way through.
Well, it's brilliant people like Billy Joel. He doesn't, he hates doing Piano Man. He hates performing that song.
But he does it.
He does it,
he does
people
it because
want it.
People want to hear it. So I call Substitute that song and Save Me is that other song. Because people say, are you going to do that song? I'm like, of course I'm going to do that song. They don't even have to say what it is. And then you'll do that other song, hey? I said, of course I'll do that other song. And I mean, I walked into a show in Bloemfontein on the weekend. I was with two other guys. We've got this little three-piece call.
Well, good for you either way.
Either's good.
Particular.
Two guys and me. It's lovely.
Yeah, sure.
It works very well.
Very nice.
And as I walked in, nearly every single person that I walked past said, are you going to do that song?
Yeah,
are you
going
to
do
that song? And then that other song. So when I said I hadn't done that for years and years when I was living in America and stuff, when I came back to South Africa, put Clout back together again just for fun, and of course that song came back in, and every gig I've done after that everybody's like, you've got to do that song.
Where are the others? Where are they? What are they up to?
So
any of them in destitution and poverty?
No
good. I'm
isn't
pleased
that
to hear.
Great. Isn't that great?
It is great.
Yeah,
it is.
Sometimes you hear these
horrible stories. So sure. Listen, I wanted to go and live on the streets for a while because I didn't want any responsibility.
I've sometimes had that fantasy.
Do you know?
Drive past a homeless person.
Do you know what I'm talking
about? It's a sick and twisted thing.
It is a sick and twisted thing that I go.
You look at them and
you can let go of everything.
Yes, you don't have family responsibilities. You don't have a bond. You don't have to worry about going to work. For some people,
everything.
Even though it's just a fantasy, they do have that moment where they want to be on the streets. So I'm glad you acknowledge that.
I did acknowledge it, and people think I'm mad when I say that. Yeah. Cindy, don't be ridiculous.
No, you are, but it's obvious you're mad.
You know, I have to be mad. Yeah. If you lose your insanity, you'll go insane.
If you lose your... Well,
do you know what I'm saying?
All right, so tell me about the others.
So...
let's just be clear, they're not on the street.
No, they're not on the street. Okay. So Lee, our bass player, lives in the UK with her husband, who she met on a Clout tour.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's sweet.
Beautiful.
It was divine.
Uh-huh.
Jenny is living in Cape Town with her husband and son.
Okay.
She's
great. Sounds very domestic
she's
and
very,
happy.
Yeah, and she's good. She does a whole bunch of things. She was
you
always
still
the
talk
music
to them all?
One. Yeah, we do.
Okay, good.
You know, we see each other when I go to UK.
So like when John and Yoko went off, none of them spoke to them anymore.
No.
Okay. That's because you were sleeping
we're
the whole
good.
Time.
Yeah.
Exactly. Having sex with Yoko.
In public.
Yeah. In a big bed. That
in
every...
a big bed in a shop window.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
I do.
Yeah, that was wild.
So, okay.
And then... Inge is still playing in Clout. She's our drummer.
Yes.
Still a powerhouse. Still a powerhouse. She can play those drums like crazy. She's mad. I love her to death.
Okay.
I think Glenda, I don't know what Glenda, I think Glenda runs an event company.
Oh, wow.
She was the keyboard player.
Yeah.
So then we this got was guys a real, in.
Yeah, but hang on. These are the women of clout.
The women of clout.
We often talk about those days where women had no power, that you had to have a man somewhere. Well, you guys were, ahead of your time.
This was the start. I was loving to mention that.
Yeah.
The start of the women's movement.
Yeah.
When girls would come to our shows and go, oh my God, girls can do it.
All on
girls
their own.
Can do whatever they want.
Don't need a guy.
Yeah. And it was very fresh and very new. And we'd start these things. I mean, we started those perms.
You had
suddenly all
big
the girls were having the
hair.
Big 80s perms. And we were wearing leather pants and ooh, tight lycra.
How racy. Mm,
very racy. And suddenly girls were wearing those big long t-shirts over the lycra yes. pants with a big belt.
That's right.
That was the thing. And we were just like,
do you have any of your 80s clothes? Like if we had an 80s party and I invited you, would you know what to wear?
I would.
Oh, I'll bet.
I'd have to wear a wig, but I would.
Oh.
Listen, those perms. I mean, if someone had come within an inch of you with a cigarette lighter, you would have gone up in flames.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And everything was like very big. You know, if you looked at the,
big
if you
and
Google
bright.
Those pictures.
Big, bright, and neon.
Definitely lots of those. And for me also, I had this very long fringe so that nobody could really see my eyes, and it was my hiding.
Ah.
You know, for me, it was
have you ever
so
sat with have you ever
kind of
sat with a shrink and spoken about this with the fringe?
No.
Sounds to me like there could be an issue
it.
There.
No,
you
knew.
Knew
it.
Okay.
I knew
that's
it.
That's why you said your therapy was out
yeah.
in public.
You know, I knew that.
Good for you.
I loved being there doing what I was doing, but the fame and adulation thing was a bit weird for me.
And so you hid behind your fringe?
Yeah.
See?
I hid behind my fringe.
Everybody's got a, I'm telling you this.
And now I haven't had a fringe to hide behind, so I have to be all
I'd love someone to
there.
Do a doctoral thesis on music and musicians and
wow.
and their psychological issues.
Can you imagine?
There must be some. I mean, somebody must
some.
Have something about this. No, I mean, there's someone must
you
have
mean
done
some issues or some doctorate?
No, no, no. I'm saying some people have probably done doctorates about this because that story about the fringe, that was your – you were kind of – you had a curtain
– I had a curtain.
Right over your eyes just so that you could always be backstage.
I could see them, but they couldn't really see me.
Yeah.
They could just see a little bit of my eyes. You know,
it's like
the
that,
longer the fringe,
Sia,
the better.
You know, she
she's not even public. She doesn't even appear.
No.
Some she's like completely behind that fringe.
So you keep up with what's going on in music now?
I do, absolutely, because I'm a songwriter.
Mm.
So I've got to know what's happening.
What do you like that's on at the moment? Is there anything that's really got you?
There's some sort of deeper stuff. There's a guy called... Blah, and then there's also
Blah.
And then there's
that's great.
Lewis Capaldi is writing
oh,
beautiful
you like that,
songs.
Huh? That's nice.
Beautiful songs,
yeah.
You know?
Ugly bastard,
good,
though.
Very ugly. And, hello.
This is
he's
George Meany.
Ugly bastard.
No, George
not
ugly.
At all.
This is Cindy Alter. I think she's hitting on you, George.
No, hitting. I'm too old to hit on anybody.
Like Lewis Capaldi, huh?
I like his stuff. He's writing good songs. I like some of Ed's. Sheeran
Ed
stuff,
Sheeran,
but,
yeah, he's a good songwriter.
You know, he's a good, but some of his stuff just sounds the same. And even his new song is the same as the other one. And
oh,
you're like,
sticking the knife into Ed Sheeran this morning,
no, I would
aren't
never,
you?
God, okay. No, I would never stick a knife in Ed Sheeran. I would beg for his money. I would be on my knees for his money.
Well,
but anyway,
I like this new song of yours. So you
thank
released
you.
It in December?
Yes, just to like, you know, get it out. It wasn't like we were doing a big Christmas release or anything like that. Just wanted to get it out, and it was it's the
does
first time I haven't recorded a song that I wrote.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't write the song. Which is interesting.
Do we still do albums? Or is that old school now?
No.
People just release singles.
You know, at this time people release singles, but the singles end up on albums.
Okay. All right.
So I'm working towards I'm actually going to do like a best of kind of album, like a compilation
right.
of all songs that I've, I'll pick like two songs from every album I've ever recorded in my life.
So I'm always happy to see you. Are we able
thank
to
you.
See you perform though? Where,
yes.
where are we doing some shows?
I've got a really good one coming up at the Radium.
Oh, nice.
The Radium's always awesome. I love that venue. It's a music venue, 7th of March. And it's just around the corner from my birthday, so we're having a big fat bash, lots of tequila.
Fantastic.
Come on.
You got me interested. Doesn't that sound good, George?
It does sound good. Is that the Radium?
George, why is your microphone not working? What have you done?
Yeah, isn't that the one in Loibota?
It is.
Yeah, I've been there.
Indeed. All right. There. Radium's such a great place. I mean, geez, everybody plays there. Blackhead Bones and Gunshot Blue, and anybody who's anybody plays there.
Fantastic. CliffCentral.com.